Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks. We have a great show with two special guests who are extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. Today, we're discussing something that is important and interesting to the multifamily industry. Our topic is multifamily property managers and regional managers, a day in the life. I have joining me in the studio two longtime multifamily industry veterans, Monica Gracia, a regional director with Dayrise Residential, and Brandon Coleman, senior property manager with Point Reyes Residential. Welcome, everybody.
Thanks for having us.
So I would imagine that a day in the life obviously can change on a moment's notice, what you have to deal with. But let's kind of start out by talking about, are there differences in the types of assets as far as what some of the operational needs would be, for instance, between a market rate conventional property versus an affordable or a student property?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the demands on each property, both administrative and with personnel and with residents, I think vary across, you know, across the board and across the different types. You'll have, you know, an affordable type of asset. You have much more demand as far as the administrative side, because there's the paperwork, there's the checklist, there's the compliance, there's all those different pieces of that puzzle. And that ties into your personnel because they need to know how to do all of that stuff. You can't just plop someone from a conventional property over to an affordable and expect them just to be able to swim from the get.
Right.
You know, I think, and then, you know, you have a conventional and it goes both ways. The resident demographic and the profile is different from place to place. Would you agree, Brandon?
I definitely agree. Sometimes we wake up as property managers to what fire do we have to put out first?
Yeah.
So I 100% agree with you. Sometimes, depending on that resident profile or demograph, it's what fire you address first.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And unfortunately, in the multifamily business, a fire can actually be a fire.
Oh, yes.
It doesn't have to be just an event. It could be an actual building fire. I mean, every day, when I almost seems like every day, mm-hmm. when I turn the news on, they'll talk about some apartment fire somewhere. So that's something that obviously is always in the back of, I guess, your minds of what do you have to do to, because that can completely change. Obviously, you want the health and safety of your residents and your employees to be the first there. But I mean, if you knock a building out, you've lost 8 units, 12 units, 16 units that now you got to reassign the people to another unit if you have it available, and then all the insurance work and everything begins. So
I mean, just yesterday we were at work and literally there was a 3-car accident right in front of my property where, you know, it's not my property, but obviously it's in my neighborhood and I care. So, you know, call maintenance man, hey, get out here. We got to get people out this car accident. You know, people were passing out because of heat exhaustion.
Oh, man.
You know, just another example of everyday life and property management.
Yeah. You know, you say a day in the life as a regional, you know, my phone is with me 24/7. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. Some tones I can sleep through, but when I hear that phone ring, it wakes me up. My daughter laughs because I've slept through hurricanes. I can sleep through anything, right? But that ringtone, when it rings, I'll wake up. And, you know, just last week, I got a call from one of my managers about a fire. Mm. So when you said it, I was like, oh, gosh. you know, we had, thankfully, it was not a building. However, it was right at the edge of our fence line, and it was a transformer, one of CenterPoint's transformers. And then it was a light pole. But the manager's calling me. She then FaceTimes me. Thank goodness for technology, right?
Oh, yeah.
She's FaceTiming me to show me. And, you know, immediately we're like, okay, whose cars are those parked right there? We need to start identifying the residents and calling residents to move their vehicles. The fire department was on standby waiting for CenterPoint to come and shut off power to the post because the post caught on fire. Mm. It was a huge mess, but you just never know.
Yeah.
And those type of incidents happen regardless of the type of asset.
Exactly.
I have to be on call, all, you know, various properties that I've overseen. and types of properties, I get the same type of call from, you know, a class A to a class D of something emergency that takes place.
You know, obviously, those are the day-to-day things that, that happen, also regardless of whether or not we're in the middle of a pandemic. Let's let's talk about what life was like before the pandemic. What was a typical type of day that you would work with? I mean, obviously, things are different now because of all the different protocols and things you have to follow as far as cleanliness and opening up certain things. And we kind of get through that. Looks like we're taking a step forward and maybe take a step backwards every now and then based on what the pandemic's doing. But what do you think, Brandon?
I would say our interactions with what we do, you know, we're so intermingled with, you know, employees, residents, our ownership groups, where now I personally have not saw my owner in over a year, where usually she would pop in at least once a quarter.
Yeah.
Interaction with residents where, you know, 6 feet away, I can't really show empathy with you 6 feet away about whatever situation you're discussing with me. So it's just making us find ways to be better at what we already do.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great way to put it.
Yeah. And before we got into the pandemic, I mean, that was even on anybody's radar. It was just something that that you didn't even think about because it had never happened in our lifetimes.
No.
So what was it like before that as far as some of the things, some of the challenges that you had? What were your challenges pre-pandemic?
Pre-pandemic, it was, you know, a lot of similar challenges that we're experiencing now as far as, you know, delinquency, maybe not on the scale or, as you know, as we are now, the magnitude of, that we're experiencing now. But, you know, as a regional, I think a lot of the challenges have remained very similar.
Mm-hmm.
My only difference is, you know, a big difference now is that I would say mostly last year, things have kind of returned somewhat to pre-pandemic status. However, before, if I'd get a resident call, I would meet with the resident. I'd say, I'm going to go to your apartment home and go inspect it. And that was kind of something that came to a halt come pandemic, because it's, you know, we had to take protocols, stay 6 feet away, just like what Brandon was saying, you know, to express our empathy and stuff and to be able to connect with the residents. That really changed. And before, I felt I was had a little more freedom to do that or to hop from place to place and property to property. And it really, I think on the regional side, a lot of my challenges have remained the same. You know, things have changed a little bit. But it was delinquency, keeping residents happy, doing, you know, with work orders, the same standard stuff that we do. And I think we're just faced with more obstacles now to accomplish those goals in light of the pandemic.
And what was it like, Monica, as far as, because I know part of your responsibilities is to make sure you've got the proper staff and the personnel that you need to run your properties. What was it like before the pandemic as far as turnover goes and so forth?
You know, that's a very good point. Before the pandemic, we struggled with occasional challenges and however, we were able to, you could call a temp company if you had, you know, if you were short staff, and they'd be able to send someone that day. If that person wasn't working out by 10:30, 11 o'clock, you could call them. They'd send somebody else by 11:30 around lunchtime. So we had more resources, you know, the human capital resources at our fingertips pre-pandemic. Pandemic hits, and that came to a screeching halt. Mm-hmm. There's labor shortages across industries.
Right.
You know, we stay in our little multifamily bubble, but then you step out and you're like, everybody's experiencing the same thing. And when you have your staffing companies not able to find people to place temporarily or permanently, you know, that's a huge issue, because now not only are you dealing with, you know, just trying to fill a permanent position, but even for if people are out sick and I need just temporary coverage for a couple of weeks because they tested positive.
Right.
What are we going to do? So it's like Brandon said, we've had to be very creative and find new ways to do what we did.
We've got about a minute and a half left. Brandon, tell me a little bit about on the property, you know, when you're on the front lines. What was it like prior to the pandemic as far as trying to find maintenance people? That's always been a challenge.
I mean, I feel like maintenance has always been a challenge with us, no matter where, because ultimately, you know, I personally feel like maintenance men are underappreciated. Mm-hmm. So at any given time, for what they offer. They can start their own business, or they can go to another company, you know, just because you didn't buy them a donut that morning or something like that.
Mess with my donuts.
I've been very fortunate. I have a great team. We've been together about 2 years. But just hearing other stories, just, you know, there's always a challenge with getting the right maintenance team member on your team for your property and your company.
Yeah, I want to say I think that you hit it on the head. I believe maintenance folks are underappreciated. But I thought you were going to say property managers were underappreciated.
I think we have it. You know, we have our challenges, but, you know, being a person that my first job, I was a porter, so I completely understand the struggle.
And you come from a family that's in the property management business. We'll talk a little bit about that in our last segment. I want to find out how your mom's doing. We're going to go ahead and break it here for this segment. We're going to be back right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. EconServe has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call EconServe today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's EconServe at 713-662-3220.
Well, we are back and you are listening to Multifamily Matters. And today we're discussing something that is important and interesting to the multifamily industry. Our topic is multifamily property managers and regional managers, a day in the life. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me in the studio are two longtime multifamily industry veterans, Monica Gracia, a regional director with Dayrise Residential, and Brandon Coleman, senior property manager with Point Reyes Residential. Before we jump back into the conversation, I do want to remind our listeners, if you'd like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So we talked in the first segment a lot about what life was like as a regional manager and a property manager before the pandemic, and we touched a little bit on the pandemic, but let's talk about that now. Obviously, a lot of things changed, but one of the most common comments that I've had from guests on the show when we're talking about the pandemic and what it's done to the multifamily industry was the constant change in communication because of the uncertainty, not knowing how we had to deal with certain things. Tell us a little bit about, can you relate some stories about what happened originally in the beginning and where we are today?
I think what happened in the beginning is, you know, obviously I would say February, you know, early March, everybody's like, hey, what is COVID-19? What's the coronavirus? Where, you know, it was on our radars from a distance for a while, but when everything actually hit, there was just a bunch of uncertainty where, you know, we were like, hey, shut everything down. You know, so that meant for us as property managers, you know, shut down the amenities, require masks inside indoor spaces, close the office down immediately. And then we went to a phase where it was like, oh, it's not so bad, where potentially we could have opened things up, but, you know, we went back red. It was just a bunch of uncertainty. You know, we just weren't sure what was right, what was wrong, and what we should do, because ultimately our whole goal as property managers is to protect that asset and those residents, whether they know we care about them or not. We have to minimize those liabilities. So, you know, just trying to communicate what we don't know ourselves about. Crazy.
Yeah, I think, you know, the uncertainty, the unknown, that was the theme, you know, I think when the pandemic started from a corporate standpoint was, we don't know. You know, you have a different emergencies, as we discussed on the last segment. You know, you have fires, you have floods, you have, you know, God forbid, shootings or things like that. You have a protocol in place. You know what to do.
Right.
With the pandemic, you didn't know. You had to rely on all these different sources of information and, you know, different people. And, you know, there were different committees, you know, formed kind of to lead the charge and say, okay, this is what we're going to do. This is what's best for this organization and our residents and our properties. But the common, you know, theme was it was a constant pivot. You're moving one way and oops, now it's this way. And, you know, now you're going this way and okay, we've got this figured out. And then, you know, then comes the labor shortage. Then comes delinquency issues that, you know, not only are you, and then the issue of people working from home. So you have all these other challenges that are now piled on that you really didn't have to deal with. You know, before it was working from home's not allowed under the lease, you know, way back when, take it way back. Now you have everybody working from home, and as a management companies and as property managers and as regionals, we're trying to make that a smooth process for those residents, trying to make it a comfortable process during this unknown period. And it was constantly changing our rules, our policies, our procedures. As Brandon said, open up amenities. Oh, nope, close up amenities. Okay, we're going to try it up. You know, it just happened just recently where, you know, with the Delta variant, right? We had, I know within our organization, we removed the mask mandate that lasted, you know, if you're vaccinated, and we encourage, residents to wear a mask if they're unvaccinated. And then Delta variant came up, numbers start to rise again. Guess what? We're back to mask required for guests and employees on site. And so this, it's still unknown and it's still ever changing. And we have to be super flexible, both at a corporate level and an on-site level with this, because I don't know when we're going to see an end, if we're going to see an end. We just have to be ready to change at a moment's notice.
And one thing, I don't think no one was expected, the number of service request increases, even though, you know, we said, hey, we're only taking care of emergency work orders right now. But, you know, someone working from home, they can easily just look up in the corner and be like, oh, you know what? Let me put a service request in for that. You know, I plan to move out in 5 months. Oh, you know what? I see this little thing right here. So every non-emergency work order probably came in at the time where we were only doing emergency work.
And they became emergencies in the residents' eyes. And that's so funny because the resident demand. I literally, there were times where I sat and I cried with my managers on site because of what they were listening to about, you know, people being unemployed, you know, laid off, all these different challenges. But on a regional level, these residents, they used to get upset. We used to say around summertime is when residents get a little worse. The resident calls get a little worse because it's hotter. It's been summertime for a year and a half.
Sure. No,
these resident calls are nonstop. And I get it. They're home. A lot of them are home.
Sure.
All
they're
the time.
Home with their kids.
With their kids. That's a whole other challenge.
They don't,
challenge.
You know, they don't have the formalcy. Hey, I'm gonna go to work, and you know, I'll deal with the kids when we get home. Right. Well, no, work and kids are at home with you 24 hours a day versus you having an 8 hour break or a 2 hour break to sit in traffic, where, you know, mental health for us
and them
is a big thing that more people need to be aware of.
Yeah.
And I'm interested to know when you are dealing with the uncertainty and you know, as you said, Brandon, you were dealing with it from a distance, and then all of a sudden it's real, it's in front of you. And there's the uncertainty and the constant changing of communication of what we're going to go down this road, and now we know we got to change and directions, go down this way. That had to be frustrating, not only for yourselves, but for your teams, as well as for your residents. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I know for sure there was frustration with my teams and residents. Just I'm a true believer in over-communicating, mm-hmm. and sometimes over-communicating can kind of bite you in your butt because you're over-communicating. So, 5 minutes, the company feels this way, we're going to do this. And then 3 minutes later, we're going to do this. So mm-hmm. Sometimes in over-communicating, you're thinking you're being an effective leader, but you're actually coming off as a confused idiot.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, to say the least. I'm a true believer in empathy where, you have to understand how they feel about it, whether you agree or disagree. You have to understand and you have to kind of expect them to understand where you're coming from, because sometimes I'm playing middleman because Monica told me to.
It's so true. I was waiting for it.
Monica told me to do this, but Sue Ann told Monica to do
this. Exactly.
So
and
we're
pulled us out of the air.
So what about you, Monica, as far as some of the changes, the frustration with your teams that you
have? Oh, absolutely. Just Brandon hit the nail on the head there. He's as a manager, they're pushing that out to their teams and to their residents. And then I'm seen as the big bad wolf, because we're changing protocols, we're changing this. We still have, the delinquency issue that is at the top of my brain. We were issuing notices to people. We have bills to pay as owners, as landlords, and trying to express that concern. And so you have my employees hearing these messages from residents. They're getting disheartened. They're getting frustrated. And it's a constant change because, we're continuing business as usual. Oh, no, we're not. There's the CDC moratorium. There's the CARES Act. Things are changing. And so you have people who have been trained to do things one way their entire career. And here we are trying to get them to change at a moment's notice. And it's very frustrating. And as a leader, both as a regional and as a manager and even executive level, we have to remind ourselves to be empathetic, to really put ourselves in their shoes. I live in an apartment, so I feel some of the frustration. Yesterday there were some kids running around my breezeway, banging on walls, making my dog go crazy. And I was like, oh my gosh. But at the same time, I'm like, well, what else are the kids going to do?
Right.
I had to remember and not think, okay, I'm trying to work here. And so trying to remind our residents, remind our employees that everybody's struggling through this at the same level. And it's real for each one of us.
Yeah.
And it's just really, just reminding ourselves to be empathetic and be flexible. It goes, be going back to being flexible and be willing to change on a dime.
Yeah. And I think that's so important because of the uncertainty that's out there. We don't know what's coming down the pike. And in all fairness, that was not necessarily the way it was prior to the pandemic. There's always uncertainty. You don't know what's going to happen on the property, who's going to walk in the door. But this just kind of changed the way, business was being conducted.
Absolutely. I said, we had protocols. We had policy procedure manuals that had been in effect, just tweaked over the years with different technology or different, lawsuits that happened or whatnot. that's usually what happens.
Yeah, for sure.
Those are those little warnings. But now it's a change.
All right. Well, we're gonna break it here. We're going to be back with our next segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because Multifamily Matters.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to RevLMC.com to find out more. That's RevLMC.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today. In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. EconServe has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call EconServe today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's EconServe at 713-662-3220.
Well, we are back and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing something that is especially important and timely to the multifamily industry. Our topic is multifamily property managers and regional managers, a day in the life. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me in the studio are two longtime multifamily industry veterans, Monica Gracia, a regional director with Dayrise Residential, and Brandon Coleman, senior property manager with Point Reyes Residential. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S., REV, the leasing management company. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties, and CTS, complete technology solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So in our first two segments, we talked about a day in the life prior to the pandemic and then what happened during and I guess where we are now with the pandemic. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about some of the recurring type of things that you have to deal with on a daily basis on a portfolio of properties or on a property on the front line. Let's talk about leasing first. What is the day-to-day involvement in leasing, and how is that important to what you're doing? And you want to take that, Brandon?
Are we talking just in general, or are we talking pandemic-wise?
No. We can talk both.
So in general, leasing, you know, they're honestly, besides maintenance, I'm always team maintenance. The leasing team is honestly the face of the property, and in my words, the most important person at the property, because they're the face. They're dealing with most resident issues. You know, they're the ones that's bringing a new business to this business. You know, and if that person does not like that leasing agent, they won't lease there. They'll go next door. So you know, just to be a leasing person is very important and special. Where, you know, their interactions before and during the pandemic are very important. It's just during a pandemic, they've had to learn how to be liked from a distance.
Absolutely.
Digitally, you know, telephone-wise, all those things matter so much more now compared to, you know, it's always been important, but now they can't, you know, clean up that phone call in person now. So.
Right.
Yeah, I'm going to chime in on that. When you said digitally, one of the things, you know, we've had email for ever now, right? But it became the tone in our email, the etiquette in our email. We always gave light training on those topics pre-pandemic. However, telephone skills and our email etiquette became top, you know, our games had to be top notch.
Right.
Because you weren't... Before, people could come in, they might lease because, oh, they like you. You look professional. You're smiling. You're radiating that energy when you're touring the property. You don't have that. When people were looking to move at the early stage of the pandemic, it's because they needed to move. Otherwise, most people stayed put, right? Mm-hmm. But we had to figure out how to come across energetic, excited, and persuasive via email. On the phone, I think it was a little bit easier because we're, you know, you still have your intonations of your voice and whatnot, but you had to be able to paint that picture of the apartment, and you had to rely heavily on your digital presence, you know, your websites. Do you have those virtual tours? Are you on social media? What are you doing to generate the new traffic in the door? You know, how are you marketing? Because before, you know, your general outreach marketing, we old school, we used to go to businesses, try to generate partnerships, you know, to get qualified traffic in the door. You used to be able to drop off goodies and baskets and whatnot. That all came to a halt.
That all went away.
Yeah.
So we had to re-strategize. Again, we had to pivot. We had to be flexible and think, okay, what are we going to do? Because we still have goals to meet. We still have, you know, occupancy goals to meet. We have
income.
We have everything that goes. Right. We have everything that goes with it. And so it became very challenging. And so everyone had to learn new ways, I think. You know, some of my teams were doing, you know, the Facebook Live tours, which was a whole new thing. People were going on Facebook Live all the time. And I was like, oh, this is cool. I started watching them. But, you know, new innovative ways to do what we did in a different time.
For sure. I just think pre-pandemic, a phone call was a building tool for the tour.
Yeah.
For the tour. Where, you know, that phone call is potentially the tour. It's almost like any prospect that we're dealing with, you know, they are that out of state, you know, prospect that's moving, you know, they're leasing sight unseen, or, you know, even when they come visit the property, a lot of, you know, management companies to this day, they're like, hey, this is the site map. I emailed it to you.
Yeah.
Go look at the apartment yourself, where there's an emptiness involved with that, especially if you've been doing this for decades.
What was the thing? People lease from you,
right?
Yeah, everybody has, you take it back, everybody has four walls. Everybody, you know, they're your comps for a reason. They're all very similar.
We're trained to, as we're touring people, oh, something looks bad right here. I'm going to pivot and go this way versus, you know, anything. Or I'm going to bring up this conversation where you're looking at me versus you're looking at that can that, you know, that beer can is right there. Where,
you're supposed,
you know,
to pick up the beer can, Brandon.
No, you do. You do, but sometimes there are other things out there where you have to distract them. And, you know, that's something that we're taught to do. We're always closing, but, you know, sometimes there's that 15 to 30 minutes where somebody's just at your property.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they may go to that one neighbor that you don't want them to go.
Yeah.
That happens a lot.
You know,
lot.
People
yeah.
look at site maps and not everybody knows how to look at a map. So they may go somewhere that you would never take them on your property. So it's just that logic and thinking about things of that nature. It's different.
Yeah,
it's
those self-guided tours, that was something new. I think realtors did a lot of that with houses, but it wasn't really something that was popular
that
in the multifamily, you know, world base. And so that was something new. And so it was. I thought it was fun, but again, I'm not out on site dealing with those type of challenges. I would get mad if I was going and I'd be like, Brandon, why is that beer bottle there? Why don't you pick it up?
For sure.
But at the same time, you know, those self-guided tours, it goes back to, we had to plan for that. So, you know, we had to keep everything clean. You have to plan for the unexpected, which is really challenging to do.
I've literally walked the property and seen prospects in the most random place ever. I was like, hey, how's it going? Can I help you? I was like, are you the manager? Like, yes. And I was like, can I help you? You look a little lost. And it's like, well, I'm looking for this building. Where I was like, well, you're 12 buildings away. Let me walk you over here. But let me still social distance.
Yes.
But let me talk to you from afar and yell at you and try to build a rapport with you. So it's just,
that goes back to that communication training too, though, you know, on how are your, you know, we had to train our teams to be able to educate our prospects to take the right tour path. Yes. You know, if you go to a museum and you do the little headphone tours, they guide you from dot to dot to dot, right? Yeah. So I kept telling my teams, pretend you're taking one of those tours, you know, pretend you're reading a map. What would you want to know? Let's spotlight. But it was all things thinking outside of the box. Took that to a whole new level.
And the human factor is just something that you can't really plan for because I can tell you, ABC, and you might have heard CBA.
Yeah, I will hear CBA for sure.
So, I know that Monica, you have as part of your responsibilities as a regional director, you have interactions all the time with your leasing folks on properties. Brandon, when you're on the front line of a property, you got a leasing team. What kind of role do you play leading that leasing team?
Sometimes, so we have our meetings. We talk about our goals, and I try to discuss how we're going to get to that goal with my team. Mm-hmm. I'm not a micromanager, but I always feel like I'm there to support you in any way. So, so me not being a micromanager, sometimes my leasing team is like, oh, what does he do? And then, you know, they have a question or they're going through something, and I just literally answer them in less than a second, and they're just like, oh, that makes sense. Yep, this is why I get paid the big bucks. But, you know, my whole purpose is to be, you know, almost a support role, a leader, you know, to be the eyes and ears for my regional, my ownership group, but, you know, to nurture my team, you know, help them grow to get to the next position or whatever their goals are, because not everyone wants to be a property manager or assistant manager. So my goal is just to be aware of that and, you know, lead my team accordingly.
We got about a minute left. Monica, you want to talk a little bit about how you interact with your leasing teams?
Oh, yeah. Well, I find it super important for regionals to be out on their properties, right? As often as possible, because there's always that misconception of, you know, on-site teams are here and corporate sitting in their little ivory tower, not
the corporate disconnect.
Yeah, the corporate disconnect. And so, you know, and I'm, you know, having started the business the way I did, I'm a firm believer in, I'm not going to ask you to do something I'm not prepared to do myself. And so with my leasing teams, it will be me interacting with them, you know, in person, going over their stuff, going, listening to their phone calls, you know, while they're there. And they all get nervous. It's so funny. I'm like, don't be nervous. Just do your job. I'm like, do you know I can pull up your phone calls at any time and listen to them whenever I want? So there's no reason for me to, for you to be nervous with me right here. But really, it's motivating them. As Brandon said it right. You know, my job specifically is to support and guide. I'm not a micromanager. If I have to micromanage you, need you.
Right.
You know, but at the same time, if you have a question, I'm here to support you and guide you, point you in the right direction. So that's what I try to do for my position.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to break it here with this segment. We're going to be back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to revlmc.com to find out more. That's revlmc.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Well, we are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, and today we're discussing multifamily property managers and regional managers, a day in the life. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me in the studio are two longtime multifamily industry veterans, Monica Gracia, a regional director with Dayrise Residential, and Brandon Coleman, senior property manager with Point Reyes Residential. I want to talk a little bit about budgets, maintenance, those types of things, as far as what do you do on a day-to-day basis? How does that affect your day? You want to start out, Brandon?
On a day-to-day, you know, I always have to pull up my budget comparison to see where I'm at month to date, year to date, just to make sure we're making, you know, getting NOI for, you know, the property and, you know, still taking care of the residents, because I'm a true believer and I'd rather not get my bonus to take care of a resident, but I love my bonus as well. So I'm going to do whatever I can. You know, yeah. I may have to spend here, but not spend in another category.
Sure.
Just to reach our goals. So, you know, my biggest goal is to sometimes tell my staff, no, you can't have that $500 nothing.
No. Yes. Just no. Just no.
Sorry. No. Maybe next quarter or something.
Yeah.
So that's just day to day, just making sure that everything makes sense for the property, residents, and ownership as well.
Sure.
Yeah, things have tightened. You know, I know, mm-hmm. especially last year, things, I think industry-wide, most companies pulled back on capital projects, things that weren't of necessity, weren't, you know, life safety issues or weren't structural issues. I think a lot of companies held back on pursuing those capital projects in 2020. So a lot of that stuff got pushed to 2021. And so I've seen those type of projects start taking away. But, you know, one of the things that we've expected the entire time is for the properties to continue to maintain, for the managers to continue to maintain their properties. Mm-hmm. And so the work orders, but like Brandon said, the number of work orders has just skyrocketed. Mm-hmm. And so there's always a huge outstanding number of uncompleted work orders, I think, across, you know, our industry, because they've just gone crazy. And then it's ridiculously hot right now, so AC calls have gone crazy, I think, across the board. And so then that pushes back the other, you know, my light bulb, my filter, you know, sure. other type of work orders. Budget, and, you know, we're about to roll into budget time. And again, you know, we were charged with this task at the end of 2020, budgeting for 2021. How do you budget? How do you budget for a pandemic?
Right.
You know, we did that. I think a lot of companies did exceptionally well with their budgets. We, you know, people were very conservative on some of their budgets and, you know, projections and whatnot as far as income wise. And I think a lot of people were pleasantly surprised on the outcome with that. But, you know, going into 22, here we are. We're like, how do we do this? We're about to be charged with this task again.
As we
hit another wave, yeah, right? So. And so it's like, when does this stop? You know, I next week have budget boot camp with, you know, all of our teams, where we're gonna have to be pulling our hair out trying to figure this out, and I'm gonna be the big bad wolf again, saying no, you can't have this. You can't have your entire wish list. What's necessary to run the property, to maintain the property, and still push us to be better than what we were this past year, I think.
No, for sure. I just think, just thinking back to a year ago, right around now, you know, me and my regional Mindy, we were talking about, you know, the budget, where I was like, I don't think we can put late fees in right now. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think we should spend this much on resident events, because, you know, ultimately we still have to try to minimize contact, you know, from a standpoint of us offering things, you know. Right now, we're going through a supply shortage
everything. Yes.
Where
everything.
I literally tried to do a order today where, you know, everything that I searched for was out of stock. Where
everything.
You know, appliances. I think appliances
started a little bit.
They're getting better.
Right. They're getting better. They started, I think the shortage started right before the pandemic. Yep. And then it just came to a halt.
Yep.
And so then that piles on the resident and the work order issue. You can't mm-hmm. close this work order because I don't have a new fridge. So then we're doing the forever forbidden thing where you're going and you're pulling an appliance from yep. a vacant apartment to satisfy this resident. Then you've got this vacant apartment with no appliance. That just got leased.
We've went to, you know, at one point, you know, I was like, hey, just find a used appliance. You know, that's the only thing we can do, because ultimately we want that occupancy. We want that income. And we want to take care of your current resident.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's basically, I applaud our industry for what we've had to deal with.
You know, and our supplier partners for putting up with us.
For sure.
You know, our on-site teams for putting up with the residents. And I have to say, our supplier partners for putting up with us, because we're calling. And then when you have the regional calling, or, you know, the executive, why can't we get appliances? And we're hearing all of these things. It's appliances. I heard chlorine has a shortage. Yep. I've heard, you know, carpet is now experiencing a shortage. It's everything and anything that we need to run our properties is hard to find.
Exactly.
Or if you can find it, it's ridiculously expensive. Yep. That goes back to the budgets. We have to plan for these hikes in all of our different R&M expenses.
Everything. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everything.
We got about 3 minutes left before I want to transition to something else. So I have one question that in each of your different responsibilities and your different roles, you have accountability to your ownership, your ownership groups and so forth. I can remember having conversations prior to the pandemic with people. We were talking about technology, with being able to Zoom and being able to FaceTime and with emails and being able, someone in Connecticut who's an owner can open up and look at your reviews, and then all of a sudden you get a phone call about why this happened on the property.
Yes.
But you know, Brandon, you said in an earlier segment that you're part of the result of the pandemic is you haven't seen your owner on as frequent a basis as you have. So tell us a little bit about that type of role. And like I said, we got about 2 minutes left.
So, again, it's like Monica said, we just have to pivot. Mm-hmm. You know, my regional probably talks to my owner every day, where prior to that, it was possibly like once a week. Mm-hmm. And then we had our quarterly visits. I talk to my owner, honestly, more about my business than my property. But when we do talk, it's a quick update, but it's not as often as it was. But I make sure I, you know, clearly communicate. And again, I'm over communicator,
sure,
where, you know, it's just very different.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to have to agree with him. It's, you know, we have some properties who the owners are from another country, and their countries were on lockdown. Mm-hmm. So they had, you know, they used to do quarterly visits.
Jeremy.
Yeah, we have some. And so they used to do quarterly visits, and then they hadn't been here in a year and a half, and they finally got to come and do a tour, and it was very, you know, very different. But there is a lot more constant day-to-day communication via email, via, you know, video conferences and whatnot. But that has changed. But at the same time, we have to, again, the big bad wolf, we have to remind our on-site teams that the properties have to be ready for those type of visits at any time, because they should be in that condition
anyway
for our residents.
Sure.
And so that's been a little shift, because I think our on-site teams have gotten used to, the owner's not going to come. You know, no big deal. And I'm like, no. But so I was so happy when things started opening up, because people had to step up their game again and go back to what we were doing, which is unfortunate. But our priorities kind of shifted, I think, on site, unfortunately. And we were just trying to stay afloat and figure it out. But I think it's smoothed out some now, where everybody has figured out their new way to operate, their new normal, basically.
Right. Well, I want to transition. I mean, we could talk about this topic for another couple of segments, but let's. I want to transition to. I always like to ask our guests, how'd you get started in the business? Let's start with you, Monica. Tell us a little bit about how you get started in the business. If someone wanted to reach out to you, how can they reach you?
Okay. So if you want to reach out to me, email's probably the best way. It's M Gracia, that's GRACIA, at dayrise.com. A lot of people, it's the Garcia-Gracia flip. I started in the business when I was 18 years old as a part-time leasing agent. I might have been right on the verge of turning 19. I was in college. A friend of mine, I needed to make some money. She was doing some leasing, and she said, hey, you should come interview. We're, you know, my company's hiring. I'm like, all right, let me try it. So I went and I interviewed. I got the job, and I loved it. And then came a time where I needed, you know, I was the part-time leasing agent, the Friday, Saturday, Sunday girl, the one that made every mistake or got blamed for everything that went wrong.
Or put everything on everybody for Monday.
Or did that too. Or when I'd come back on Friday, there'd be a pile of files on my desk and my manager's notes figured out, because I wouldn't put stuff together right. So now I'm like a paperwork queen because of that. I learned. Tough love. But you tried to leave the business. And I think just like a lot of other people, I tried to go outside of our industry to get a full-time job. And I said, wow, I'm making more money. I was making more money part-time than I am now working a full-time job. And I had a lot more fun doing it. So I came back into the business. The commissions are great. And I just kind of slowly worked my way up. And now here I am loving it. My daughter's now in the business as a leasing agent. And so it's just, it's a great industry. It's a great career. No 2 days are ever the same. And really, I think that one of the biggest challenges we have, and I wish people knew how great our industry was, because right now we have a shortage of finding good qualified people. And I think if the word got out about just how phenomenal the multifamily industry is, we'd have people banging down the doors to come be a part of it. It's a lot of fun. We work hard, but we have fun.
It's literally a multifamily family.
Multifamily family, absolutely.
I want to, because we're going to run out of time, I just want to remind our listeners that I will put on the episode page at our for this episode at our website at multifamilyradio.com. You can go to that page. You'll see the logos for Dayrise Residential and for Point Reyes. And if you click on it, it'll take you to their website. So if you want to find out more about those companies. But Brandon, I want to ask you a question because you are an entrepreneur. Tell us a little bit about your business, Cinema Anywhere. I mean, it's a multifamily natural.
So I own a company called Cinema Anywhere. We currently service the Houston, Nashville, and Austin areas. You know, we specialize in doing movie nights, all types of audiovisual rentals. So we assist with events, movie nights, karaoke nights, all of the above. You give us your idea, we'll make it come to life in the Houston, Nashville, and Austin areas now. So,
how can they reach you?
They can reach me at contact@cinemaanywherehouston.com. Or contact at Cinema Anywhere Austin, contact at Cinema Anywhere Nashville.com, because we're in three different areas.
And I'm a proud customer as well.
She is a customer.
Well, I will say that you know, the fact that you have grown up and currently work in multifamily, it's a natural for multifamily who always are trying to do resident events to bring you in, because you understand the ins and outs of making sure that the residents are happy and working on multifamily property.
Yes, I do. And sometimes, even though I'm working my business, I stuck being a property manager more often than not.
All right. Well, thank you guys for coming. It's always great to have you. I want to have you back again real soon. We're going to be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.